Welcome, everybody, to episode 6 of SMY.TV's Meet the Mets cast. Quick programming note before we get started. This show will be available as part of the SMY.TV Mets podcast feed. So search for SNY Mets in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. And definitely subscribe to the feed if you haven't already. Rate us and drop us a review. So for this week's show, we've got a very special guest, and it's not just Matt Cerrone. Matt, you're always special.
Thanks, Rob.
Going to welcome in Jake Brown, who hosts his own podcast on Play.it, appropriately titled The Jake Brown Show. Jake, welcome to our show. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to be with you. So we're going to talk a little bit of Mets like we always do. Jake, I'm sure you'll be comfortable with that. We brought you on for a reason, because you're just like us. You're a Mets fan and you have some angst, I'm sure. So you'll fit right in. Let's get right to it. Noah Syndergaard obviously has been the topic of discussion really since the year began. And it started with his amazing physique and how he's Thor and he's God and he's going to throw 150 miles an hour at some point this year because he's everything and more. And then all of a sudden now he has fallen victim to what it seems every other Mets pitcher has fallen victim to. He is injured. He has a torn lat muscle. Started with a biceps thing, and now it looks like he's going to be out for several months as he goes for a second medical opinion. And on top of that, he's also fallen out of favor, it seems, with the media. And maybe it's because he's disguised some of his injuries, not been 100% truthful with them. Maybe it's because they just don't like his mentality. I'm not 100% sure. So, Jake, we'll start with you since you're the new guy on the show. Do you think that Noah has fallen out of favor? Are you getting that feeling right now?
I think it's approaching that territory. I think it's still early to say that. And he's a larger-than-life figure. The kid's 24. He got to the big leagues at 22 in New York as the ace, getting a nickname Thor, commercials, endorsements. I mean, everyone was in love with this guy, and this kind of thing happens, and it's kind of a reality check. It's like, you know what? Maybe I should have got the MRI. Maybe I shouldn't have rushed to come back in April. I wouldn't say he's falling out of the favor yet with the New York media. I think it's still early. But this guy has got to go out there and help this team win a World Series before he thinks he's the next God. And I think it's early, and it's hard to say that, but it's starting to approach that territory just like it did with Harvey. When Harvey got the reality check, when he started getting roughed up and when he started getting hurt, and he's got to realize that he's got to trust the doctors, and he can't think he's larger than life. Because at this point, if 3 months out in a season where you expect this team to potentially win a World Series isn't a reality check, I don't know what is.
Matt, what do you think? Falling out of favor? I'm not 100% sure that's true either. It seems like he's still liked.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of favor. I think, you know, it's hard to frame it. I mean, the media, you know how the New York media is. They just look for a story, and whatever story it is, they'll pounce on and run with it. You know, whereas the three of us on this show, and Steve Hofstetter is usually with us, like, you know, we dabble in media in the sense that we are doing a podcast here and I write and we all do our individual thing, but we're also Mets fans. So like at the end of the day, we want them to win. Like that's really what is most, at least emotionally, important to us. For the reporters, it's just a story. So right. If the story is the MRI and, you know, the fact that he was on top of the world and now it just seems like it's falling apart, like that's the story they're going to write and they're going to roll with it. And so that's kind of the way they're covering it. For us as fans, I feel like, you know, it's disappointing that he's not going to be there. I don't necessarily feel like he did anything, you know, if he did anything wrong, it's, I think, that he just wanted to pitch, which, given right. the state of the team, like, I really can't fault him for that. Is it the right move in terms of his body and his career? Maybe not, but, like, I think it comes from a good place. It's not like he was out late partying or doing some crazy stuff and, like, you know, he's just slacking. He got hurt, and it happens. Like, the way he throws, it's you know, it shouldn't be a surprise, really, to anybody, and I think his heart and it seems like his goals were in the right place. So for that, I don't feel like he's out of favor. I just think he's out of mind at this point, and that's just really disappointing. And so, yeah, there's a negative box around him, but I don't think it's personal in any way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It absolutely does. You know what's interesting? We get a rundown sheet, folks, every week, and I look at the rundown, and they give some examples our producers do for ideas when we're talking about a topic. And one of the names – for this topic that was written down on the sheet was Bobby Bonilla. And I was thinking to myself, was Bobby Bonilla ever loved by the media, even when he was in Pittsburgh? I'm not 100% sure that he was ever one of those guys that fell out of favor. He just wasn't in favor at all. And he's also a guy that tried to pick a fight with a reporter, if you remember, in the clubhouse in the 90s. So yeah. I could see why the New York media doesn't love him. But, you know, falling out of favor, I agree with both of you guys. I don't think Noah's quite there yet. I still think the New York media likes him, and he's a huge topic, and he's going to be for years and years and years. And the one thing I've noticed in this clubhouse in my time being around the team, and Matt, I would think you probably have noticed this too, is when guys get so much exposure, and especially with the New York media being as large as it is and how much coverage the Mets get, after a while, it's natural. They sort of get sick of talking to the media, right? I mean, don't they develop maybe a little bit of a shield, and especially if they've been exposed doing something or if they've been written about over and over again in maybe a somewhat negative light, they get a little angry and they don't want to talk. And maybe that turns into something where an outside perspective, a person can think falling out of favor.
Yeah, and it's I mean, this is very inside baseball, and a lot of fans don't want to hear this because I think it's easy sometimes to look at these guys as robots and statistics. But, you know, when you're in New York, and I talked to Adam Rubin about this a little bit on the Q&A cast on Monday, specifically about David Wright and a little bit about Syndergaard, which is, you know, when you become the guy in New York, it's not just the media. It's not just the fans. It's charity work. It's all kinds of, you know, handshaking and running the ropes before games and autograph stuff. And, you know, you're doing deals with merchandise and with sponsors, and it sounds glamorous and it's wonderful, but it's also a lot of extra work on top of being, you know, a peak performer and doing the job you are in this city with the pressure of performing and expectations, what they are. And sort of put yourself in Noah's shoes. He builds up this idea that he's Thor and everybody expects him to carry the team, especially when there's guys injured. You know, it's a lot going on in your head. Yeah. You have a bad day. You know you're hurt. You know you're not performing to the best of your abilities. People want to talk. You're frustrated. You know, things are going to happen. And it's like, if you think about it in that context, like, it all makes sense. It doesn't seem absurd. And David Wright went through this a few years ago when the team was losing, by the way, and there was nobody else there to talk to anybody. You know, he was the shield for that. Harvey dealt with a little bit at one point. He kind of cracked. It's always the thing I always admire about David is he never buckled from it. It never was an issue. He always kind of stood up and faced the music. But, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't think fans will ever look at that and think they're out of favor. In some cases, when I hear Syndergaard blow off the media tonight, like, on one hand, I think, well, that stinks because I'd like to know what's going on. On the other hand, you know, he's got a bad day. Like, who cares? Like, he'll be back. Let him do his thing. Right. It happens. So, like, I think most fans don't get wrapped up in that. And, like, for us doing what we do, you can kind of see both sides of it, but I'm not sure I'd act any different if it was me. Like, I have a bad day sometimes. I don't want to talk to people. Like,
that's absolutely right. And you don't have 20 reporters standing around you with cameras, which is really, really nice.
Waiting for me to mess up and say something stupid. Like, you know, it's – anyway.
No, I hear you. Guys, in some cases, this is actually better for the media because Syndergaard's creating more of a story by what he has done off the field. I mean, he's going to get you more clicks for your column than if he gave you the generic Curtis Granderson answer.
No question about it.
Or even more to your point, Jake, if Syndergaard's not there, what are they writing about? Mm-hmm. They're writing about how the Mets are losing. Suddenly the focus becomes something else. Someone else will become the vehicle for why this team isn't performing well. It won't be Syndergaard's injury. It'll be, you know, Granderson's slump or, you know, when Reyes was struggling or Terry Collins is losing the locker. Like, they'll come up with some other narrative that will dominate the cycle. And so in some ways, Syndergaard's behavior might actually be running cover, you know, for some of the other things that are going on with the team. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. So, Jake, since this is your first show with us, should fill you in. We play some games. That's kind of like become our thing here. So we're going to play some games on this week's show. It's really less, I guess, games than it is us guessing what we think is going to happen next with this team. So this week, for the first game, if you will, we're going to play which will happen first. And so we want to get your take on which one of these things you think will occur first for the New York Mets. So, Jake, we'll start with you. Terry Collins gets tossed from a game or David Wright plays in a game. Which one of those two things do you think will happen first for the New York Mets? And maybe a short example of why.
I would like it to be David Wright, but I think it's going to be Terry Collins for a couple of reasons. One, who knows when Wright's going to be back. The guy has been constantly injured the last couple of years with every kind of injury you could imagine. And I think Terry needs to do something to really fire up this team. I think he needs to have a third inning, fourth inning ejection and wipe things on the plate. He needs to do a scene out of Major League at this point to wake these guys up because it's been a snooze fest. Now, I could go on a whole rant on why I don't think Terry Collins should be the manager. I'm not going to do that. But I think Terry needs to do something to fire this team up and to get this team rallied up. So I have to go with Terry on this, as much as I'd rather see David Wright play immediately.
All right, Matt. Terry gets tossed or David Wright plays in a game?
I think it's Terry gets tossed. A couple of reasons. One, I don't even know where David Wright is. So it's hard to imagine.
I was going to say the same thing. I have no idea.
It's hard to imagine he's playing a game anytime soon, let alone before Terry gets tossed. I also think Terry he seems like a little bit of a powder keg. Like, he holds it in and he leaks it out every once in a while. You kind of can tell he's getting agitated, and then all of a sudden, boom, he just goes. If that happens during a game, he will get ejected. I love when he gets ejected. It's hysterical, like the way he
behaves. Awesome.
It's like he's a little firecracker and like he can't contain himself. So I love it. I don't know that it motivates the team so much, but I think the other thing is I think he has a lot of faith in his bench coaches. And so that always kind of helps. Like, I don't think he's reluctant to like get tossed for whatever reason. I hope he does it at home though, because like the fans always go nuts. But I would definitely go with Terry over David Wright.
100% with both of you guys. I have no idea, like you said, Matt, where the heck David Wright even is. So I'm going to go Terry gets tossed. It will happen at some point. This team they're so weird. They're up and down this week. They won a couple of great games against the Nationals, and then they get blown out 23-5. They win a couple of games in the series against the Braves, and sandwiched in between, they wind up losing a game in Atlanta. So I think Terry eventually will get frustrated and get tossed. All right, no explanation needed on this one, just a pick. Jake, your thoughts on who pitches in a major league game first? Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard, Seth Lugo, or I don't know who wrote this, Adam Wilk.
Wow. I'll go Seth Lugo on that one.
Okay, Seth Lugo, that's your pick. He's obviously trying to return from injury. Matt?
Yeah, my instinct there is to go with Lugo, but I mean, he's another one. I know it doesn't seem like he's going to need surgery. It just, the way that story progressed, it seemed like he should, that they were sort of doing this in a way that like he's going to get back on a mound, start throwing, and then they're going to tell us he needs Tommy John surgery. Kind of like what happened with Zach Wheeler. But they really need Lugo back. So, I mean, I'll just go with him. Did they really miss him? Like, I think he's really been a big, big difference. Like, not having him in that role, being able to step in and start, and then also potentially be that sort of ace reliever that I think they were kind of hoping he could be. What a bummer it's been to not have him in the mix. I'll just go with him.
And the bigger story,
I think it's more wishful
really
thinking.
It is. And the bigger story that comes from that is really all the pitchers that have gotten hurt that participated in the WBC this year. And that's really going to continue to be a story over the next few years as they build up for the next World Baseball Classic, is these pitchers that performed like Lugo did for Puerto Rico in the WBC and performed very well. All of a sudden, they come back, they get hurt. And although you can't prove that that had the direct influence on the injuries, you see guys like Drew Smyly and others that are now lost for months at a time. It's really a shame because we love that event. All right, next one here. Let's see. Michael Conforto plays in an All-Star game, or Curtis Granderson, who's currently hitting 137, reaches the Mendoza line of 200. Matt, this time we'll start with you. Which one of those two things do you think happens first?
What was the Conforto?
It was Conforto plays in an All-Star game, Curtis Granderson hits over 200.
I don't know. I think Granderson's hot, and he always kind of catches – this always happens to him. You know, I think he'll get over 200 before the summer, and then he'll just stay around 205 because that's what Curtis Granderson does. But the thing that will keep
–
right, the thing that will keep that from happening is Duda and, you know, Cespedes coming back and all that kind of stuff. Like how – because Granderson's the guy that goes to the bench, I think. It just seems like that's it. So it's kind of like a foot race. I think if Granderson's playing, he hits 200. If he's not, then, you know, but because I'm not entirely.
So which one do you think happens first then? You're picking Granderson?
I'm going Granderson, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Jake?
Definitely Granderson, because we know when Cespedes comes back, Terry, even if Conforto's hitting 600, we'll have him on the bench.
That better not happen, man.
No, I don't see it. I know fans want to believe that that's the case, and I think a lot of fans want to believe that Terry is the one that dictates the lineup every day, but I think there's some influence from the front office. Hey, at least at the start of the year, Conforto's going to start the year on the bench. I think that's a group discussion. But I'm going to say Conforto makes an all-star game this year. I mean, look at the way he's playing right now. I think he's dominating. He's been their best hitter. He's been their best player.
It's hard to say without knowing the field, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And Granderson, as you said, is such a slow starter. All right, let's skip ahead to the next one. Who plays first base first? And this is kind of another injury question. Jake, Lucas Duda or Dominic Smith?
Oh, I'd like the answer to be Dominic Smith. I've talked to the guy before. He's a great guy, great defender, starting to get a little bit of power in there. But I do think Lucas Duda is going to get his chance, although I think Dominic could be back, could be up, called up by September.
Okay, fair enough. Matt?
It's Duda. I it's interesting.
Where is Duda? What's going on with Duda? Well, he was rehabbing and he got hurt again, right?
Yeah, I think they just want to let him look. My guess is the elbow probably started to get a little swollen again. But either way, I think he gets back before they want to call up Dom. They've got other options. Bruce showed he can play first, and he looked actually pretty okay. And that might be a solution when Cespedes comes back. So my guess is they don't rush Duda, and I don't think they want to rush up Dom, who, you know, this is the first go-round full-time with Vegas. And, the fact is, the other tempting thing, though, is if they were to bring up Rosario and Dom Smith and put the two of them on that infield and put Cabrera at third and Walker at second, suddenly they have a pretty good, like a really good infield defense, which, frankly, they kind of need with the way the pitching staff has been. So, like, I could understand the argument that way, but I just don't see them doing it. They don't talk about him that way.
I've always been one of those guys who's been against calling up prospects too quickly and they're too young. I've been in favor of keeping guys in the minor leagues as long as you not possibly can. That's probably the wrong term, but you know, a little longer. What's wrong with keeping a guy up in his first go around, as you said, in AAA until September, get his feet wet then, and then you call him up maybe the following season when Duda's gone off the team if they let him go. In this case, however, Dom is raking in AAA, as is Rosario. And although he's not hitting a lot of home run power.
Is he lifting the ball? Is he hitting extra? I haven't looked. Is he hitting extra base hits, or is he just hitting rug burners like on the ground? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a gap-to-gap kind of guy. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that leaves the ballpark 30 times in a season. He has, you know, strength, but he's just not that kind of hitter. But I'm in favor of calling up Dom and Rosario sooner rather than later. And I'm not saying you call them up in May, but maybe sometime in June, July. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You see around the big leagues, all these guys that make an impact when they come up from AAA and how it sparks teams. I like that. All right, let's move on to our last one.
Just real quick, it'd be a ton of fun if they came up at the same time, by the way. Because like they present as buddies. They're on this thing together. Like it'd be pretty cool if they came up, like their energy, because they're both really two positive, energetic, cool guys. Like it'd be kind of fun to see that get injected into the clubhouse at the same time. So I'm with you on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's go through this one really quick. It's our last one. Jake, Yoenis Cespedes returns from the DL or Ahmed Rosario gets called up? Which one happens first?
Again, I like the answer to be Rosario. The guy's hitting over 400 at AAA, and I know the numbers are a little inflated there, but I do think Cespedes will be up. But I do think I think Rosario and Smith, as we talked about, are going to be the guys there next year, especially with Duda's deal up. I think Dom is going to be the starter next season, at least for a majority of the season. But I do think Cespedes will be back before Rosario gets called up.
I'm with you, same. Matt.
Same.
Okay, and I think all of us agree on that. I think Rosario comes up, but not before Cespedes. Well, we better hope it's not before Cespedes gets back, because they need his bat in the lineup. All right, here's our second game and our final game, as it turns out, for this week's show. There was a board game in the 1980s. I'm sure all of you folks that are our age or a little bit older remember it. It was called Operation. So if you haven't played Operation, basically what's going to happen is I'm going to name off one Met player for Matt and Jake, and each guy is going to have to name the injuries that player has been affected with during their career. If they get it wrong, they're going to hear a buzzer. And Jason Pateri, you're producing. You want to tell fans or play the buzzer so fans know what it sounds like? That's it. That's a buzzer. All right. So if you get the injury wrong, you're going to hear that. Jake, you are up first. You have to name the injuries that Matt Harvey has had in his career. He's had four of them, so I'll give you that clue. Four injuries, go for it.
Oh, man, this is tough. It seems like every body part. I'm going to say a torn UCL is one.
Okay, elbow, that counts.
Elbow.
Yeah.
Does Tommy John surgery count as one?
We're still kind of on elbow at that point, so that's all the same, yeah.
Okay.
Different area of the body.
A torn labrum.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for that.
No.
There's three more, huh?
One you can get for sure. That was this past season, one season ago. Missed the whole year because of it, basically.
It's like thoracic syndrome or something?
Yeah, thoracic outlet that counts. Yeah, right. Absolutely. All right, that's two.
Those are big words.
Yes.
All right, thoracic outlet. Oh, man. I'm just guess strained shoulder. I'm going to guess wrong.
Can you phone a friend?
You can't phone a friend. All right, I'll give you one here. One, if you can remember, he was on the mound. I think it was now two seasons ago. And if you remember, maybe it's three now. They all blend together because he's been hurt so much. Remember he was on the mound and all of a sudden he starts bleeding?
Was it a bladder injury?
Well, he had that. That's good.
Excellent. That was a blood clot.
Very, very good. Now, you might have been bleeding down there, too. I don't know. That's a third one. I was getting to the nosebleed, when he was on the mound, if you remember right. They consider that an injury here.
Nosebleed counts as an injury these days?
I don't know. As far as the game is concerned, I don't write these. I just say them. So elbow, thoracic outlet, nosebleed, and bladder. You got all four somehow. Well, kind of like the roundabout way. All right, Matt, your player is Steven Matz. He has had three injuries. Can you name the three?
Tommy John, the lat injury.
The Tommy John happened before he got to the big leagues.
Injuries?
These are big leagues. Since getting to the big leagues.
He had the bone spur, the lat injury.
That's correct, too.
Something with his shoulder? I can't remember.
That's not no. No, I don't think so.
I don't think I know the third.
Was it a flexor strain?
Yes. Excellent work, Jake. Okay. Fantastic.
When was that?
That was this year, right?
I don't know. Jason wrote that down. When was the flexor strain?
I think it was this year.
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jay is telling me in my ear it may have been this year. Yeah. We just know he had it at some point. All right, that's our
sad,
two players.
The sad part of that is that we can't even really remember. It's like within the last couple of years, just because they come so fast and furious. All right, Rob, I have one for you.
Oh, okay. All right.
So can you recall the six injuries from Travis d'Arnaud?
Oh, jeez.
Six. Six.
Well, one was the hyperextended elbow when he got in the collision with A.J. Pierzynski at the plate. One was a broken toe that he suffered when he was hit by a foul ball behind the plate. But that I can't remember if that was in the minor leagues or in the major leagues.
That might have been in the minors, yeah.
Okay, because I remember that one for sure. thanks. Jeez. He had it at some point. It just wasn't in the majors. All right. D'Arnaud, let's see. What has he had? D'Arnaud. Oh, man. Six of them, and I can't even think of what they are. All right. One has got to be a concussion, right?
Yep.
So we got that. All right. So concussion. So that's two.
You're missing the most recent one a couple days ago.
Yeah, right.
Didn't he break his hand on a foul ball?
Yep.
At some point? Okay. So we got that. That's three. A couple of days ago. What happened a couple of days ago to d'Arnaud? Well, how did I miss that? All right, you can give that away for me.
His wrist. It's a wrist, yeah. Just a sore wrist, whatever that means.
Oh, sore wrist. Okay, all right, that's four. See, I wasn't counting any of that. I'm like you, Jake. I'm only counting like the major injuries here. shoot. What else did he do? Shoulder. Something with his shoulder.
Shoulder strain.
Okay, shoulder strain, we got that. So that's five, right?
Yep.
All right, one left.
The last one I don't think you're going to get because I don't even remember this myself.
God, he's got to have done something with his legs. I mean, you know, he got a, you know, running hyperextended
knee. It's not his legs. I will give you that. That's
not his legs.
Nope.
Did he break a rib?
Shockingly, no.
Oh, okay. What did he do? I'm totally
Isn't
out.
Isn't it a back injury?
Shockingly, no.
Huh.
What happened? What did he do?
Chipped bone in his elbow, which I don't even remember that, which is, not at all surprising.
Bone in his elbow. My God. This guy, he literally is like that walking guy from the 80s. He looks like Mr. Operation. All right, that's enough of Operation. Basically, you can name every single Mets player, and they've had 20 of these, which is incredible. I don't know if it's the training staff. I don't know what it is. Anyway, all right. It's time to lay on the couch, folks. I am going to be a bit of a psychologist this week. The Mets really not slumping as badly as it seems right now. As we record this one today, they've actually won four of their last six. They won a series in D.C., although they got murdered in the finale of that series. And then they go down to Atlanta. They've won two of three thus far. They have a chance to capture that series today. So they're not really as bad as it may seem from the outside perspective, although they're, I think, still in last place in the division. But still, Matt, we'll start with you. How would you handle the Mets' issues right now? You're laying on the couch talking to your psychologist. What do you think? I mean, we saw this week, obviously, there was a kid on Twitter. I think he was, 9 or 10 years old, mm-hmm. that went on this long rant, and he's become, like, the story of Mets Twitter right now because it made its way all over the internet. Do you do that? Do you stand in front of a camera and curse out loud over and over again?
Well, if I did, you'd know about it.
That's so true. No. You need to post
No, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to be involved in my therapy sessions. But if it were me, it's just, you got to just meditate, you know, and like just be quiet, watch the season, wake me up in June, and let's kind of see where things are, because it's such a long year and like so much changes. It's so ridiculous that to get that hot and that worked up, like that kid, which is a joke, again, he's only 9 and 10, whatever he is, like, I get, it's fine. But if an adult is acting that way, like, you got to calm down, because it's so early and so much can go on. And like, I understand the injuries and all this stuff, but you know, the Nationals could suffer a bunch of injuries, and you know, these other teams that are rebuilding, they're young. Like, can they, you know, stick it out? And the whole league is kind of a mess, the National League. So like, it's a lot is going to happen. So like, I just think from a therapeutic mental thing, like just be cool. Like, that's really it. That's all you can do.
Jake.
All right, a couple things. I want to address the woes and then this idiot kid. First,
yeah.
the woes, I've recently gotten into Catfish. I'm very late on the show Catfish. I started watching a couple months ago. So if the Mets are getting spanked, I'll go watch Catfish and see people get catfished, which is always interesting. And also, Daquan on Instagram is a great account of just funny videos on the internet, as well as Barstool videos I'll check out. And that will cheer me up. And obviously, drink is an obvious one, but it's April. You don't need to resort to that yet. The lunatic kid. Now, you guys are a little older. I'm 26. But we live in such an era where kids feel the need to do something to go viral. And this kid is 10 years old, and these kids are demoralized because they're so into social media, even more than we are, that they feel, oh, let me hurt my friend to end up on Barstool. Let me do this. Let me go on a rant and see if it goes viral. And this kid is clearly doing that. Now, this kid is ranting about games in April. He has yet to see Scott Kazmir traded for Victor Zambrano. He has yet to see back-to-back collapses in 2007 and 2008. He has yet to see, well, he may be alive, but he was still in his crib, to see your childhood stadium taken away from you. He is yet to see you lose to Yadier Molina. He has yet to watch Aaron Hallman pitch in the ninth inning. He has yet to see Kenny Rogers walk in a game-winning run. This kid has seen nothing in his life, and he wants to post videos about decisions in April in a 162-game season. Delete your Instagram. Delete your social media, Mets maniac, because you're lost. Get lost, in my best Mike Francesa voice.
Nice. I think it just speaks. It speaks to the I think all those are the reasons why he did it, because like, he doesn't know that stuff. So the expectation is just
every
play
game's
better.
Gonna be a win, right?
Yeah, you know, like it, which is, it's, man. If it was
how,
only that easy,
how does something like that, go viral, right? I mean, he's 10 years old. Who does he know that somebody? I guess somebody just randomly sees that video online and boom. it becomes this big
thing. I think his brother, it's somebody he knows runs a really big account on Instagram, Mets news account. And I think that gave him a little bit of a pop. But I don't know. It's that stuff doesn't bother me. Like, that's a nature of the media we live in. To me, the more fascinating thing is just the mindset that any one person would have, that expectation, let alone a 9 or a 10 year old. It scares me because, like, man, it is not going to be easy. If that's the expectation, good luck.
And guys, I had a similar situation because when I was 8 and the Mets made, it was 99, the Mets almost made the World Series. When I was 9, they made the World Series. This kid has seen a World Series appearance, a playoff appearance, and now a team that should win a World Series. We'll see. He has yet to see anything. Your life is going to go downhill from here. So just take a sip of coffee, kid, and realize that you're the best times you're in right now, not just because you're a kid and you're not paying rent and bills, but because of the fact that you've seen a team win a pennant and make the World Series. So relax.
Well, you're encouraging that kid to drink coffee. I don't think that's necessarily what I was going to say. He's already hyped up.
Drink some Kool-Aid, kid. You can drink that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, that'll do it for this week's show. Be back next week. Of course, Steve Hostetter, who normally is with us, is in Auckland, New Zealand, I think, right now. Congratulations to him. Every week I see that guy posting pictures all over the world. Once again, you can find us on the SNY.TV Mets podcast feed. Search SNY Mets in the iPhone app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. Again, that's SNY Mets in the iPhone app in order to listen to us or wherever you listen to your podcast. Jake, it has been a pleasure. Again, where can all the folks find you out there? And just a little blurb about the podcast, if you would.
Yeah, you can follow me at Jake Brown Radio and follow my show, The Jake Brown Show, at Jake Brown Show. You could subscribe, again, Apple Podcasts, they call it now, and Spotify with Play.it. Sports entertainment, you'll see players, you'll see Broadway stars, actors, comedians. Steve Hofstetter will be on the show at some point, so definitely check it out.
Yeah, thank you.
You're not me. I'm talking about my book, dude. Come on.
That's that. Of course, when it's out, right. You know you're invited.
Cool. Yes, absolutely. And don't forget about me at some point. All right, Matt. Any cool stuff coming up on the Q&A cast this week?
No. Friday is the Feedback Friday where we take voicemails, and I'll bring somebody on to kind of, I don't know, try to make sense of all of this. I don't know. A couple
great
injuries.
Great job last week, by the way.
I'm talking about injuries. I'm sick of talking about injuries. Reminds me of 09. Where I wish I went to school for accounting and medicine. I don't like that. I like baseball better. So, like, hopefully they start winning and we can focus on the field.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, thanks. Thanks to Jason Pateri and the folks back in the SNY studios. I'm Rob Render. We'll see you next week.